All summer, Perry undulated between half-awake stupors and sickly, sweat-drenched sleep. Voices roared through his head. One voice persistently asked him, "Where is Jesus? Where?" And once he woke up shouting, "The bird is Jesus! The bird is Jesus!" His favorite old theatrical fantasy, the one in which he thought of himself as Perry O'Parsons, the one-man symphony, returned in the guise of a recurrent dream. The dream's geographical center was a Las Vegas nightclub where, wearing a white top hat and a white tuxedo, he strutted about a spotlighted stage playing in turn a harmonica, a guitar, a banjo, drums, sang "You Are My Sunshine," and tap-danced up a short flight of gold-painted prop steps. At the top, standing on a platform, he took a bow. There was no applause. None. And yet, thousands of patrons packed the vast and gaudy room. A strange audience, mostly men and mostly Negroes. Staring at them, the perspiring entertainer at last understood their silence, for suddenly he knew that these were phantoms, the ghosts of the legally annihilated, the hanged, the gassed, the electrocuted. And in the same instant he realized that he was there to join them. That the gold-painted steps had led to a scaffold, that the platform on which he stood was opening beneath him. His top hat tumbled. Urinating, defecating, Perry O'Parsons entered eternity. One afternoon he escaped from a dream and wakened to find the warden standing beside his bed. The warden said, "Sounds like you were having a little nightmare." But Perry wouldn't answer him. And the warden, who on several occasions had visited the hospital and tried to persuade the prisoner to cease his fast, said, "I have something here. From your father. I thought you might want to see it." Perry, his eyes glitteringly immense in a face now almost phosphorescently pale, studied the ceiling. And presently, after placing a picture postcard on the patient's bedside table, the rebuffed visitor departed. That night, Perry looked at the card. It was addressed to the warden and postmarked Blue Lake, California. The message, written in a familiar stubby script, said, "Dear Sir, I understand you have my boy Perry back in custody. Write me, please, what did he do wrong, and if I come there, could I see him? All's well with me and trust the same with you. Tex J. Smith." Perry destroyed the card. But his mind preserved it, for the few crude words had resurrected him emotionally, revived love and hate, and reminded him that he was still what he had tried not to be, alive. "And I just decided," he later informed a friend, "that I ought to stay that way. Anybody who wanted my life wasn't going to get any more help from me. They'd have to fight for it." The next morning he asked for a glass of milk. The first sustenance he had volunteered to accept in 14 weeks. Gradually, on a diet of eggnogs and orange juice, he regained weight. By October, the prison physician, Dr. Robert Moore, considered him strong enough to be returned to the row. When he arrived there, Dick laughed and said, "Welcome home, honey."